Well, I'm very curious about this song coming up because you have shared in the past your guitar heroes, Eric Clapton. Is this a Clapton riff? Is it a twangy riff? Is it a Chet Atkins type? Is it a Mark Knopf? What type of style? Or is it a Waylon style, a little bit of country twang in it?
This is a traditional song.
Okay.
That everyone will recognize. The tribute song is written to the tune of a traditional song.
Okay.
You'll have to wait.
Oh, killing me. Killing me, Smalls.
It's going to be good.
A quick follow-up to our last caller, and then we've got Greg. George. There is certain things that just happen when we take a topic. If we take a call on plumbing, the next 50 calls are going to be on plumbing. There's just things that spark nerves.
Sure.
A lot of times citrus in this hour will spark that nerve. I've never seen the oak tree spark a nerve like it has today. We're going to go to another call with George, who has an oak tree, but you had some follow-up for our
last call.
Renee and Queen Creek.
By the way, the oak tree is an amazing tree. It is so widely distributed across the U.S., and I'm so glad it's being used widely here in the valley. It's all through the desert southwest. You know, it's called the Texas live oak or the southern live oak. It's Quercus virginiana. It's, like I said, it goes all the way through the south and to the east, southeast part of the United States. But it's so well adapted to our climate here. Very durable, bulletproof, really strong tree, not prone to breakage. Grows a little more slowly than some of the other trees, kind of like our native trees, some of the other trees that are available at the nurseries. But it achieves its landscape purpose when it does. It's very low maintenance. I just like them for so many reasons. But
slow growers can be the hardiest.
They're putting wood on more slowly, so the wood tends to be stronger. But I wanted to give a shout-out to my brothers and sisters across the arborists, across the valley and across the state of Arizona. And if you have a diagnostic question that's difficult for us to answer on the radio, there are arborists all around your area who can come and get on site and do some investigative work and an evaluation of your tree problem, and really drill down and find out what you're facing. If you have, if you can get online, go to a very simple tree website to remember by going to treesaregood.org, treesaregood.org, and right on that landing page you'll find a link to finding a certified arborist in your area. Put in your zip code. It will give you the certified arborist closest to you, and then you can select one or two and have them come out, and you can get those questions answered. But I just wanted to give a shout out to the arborists across the state of Arizona. A lot of great arborists, friends and colleagues of mine who you can trust that they've had the knowledge that they need to be able to look at your tree problems and get to the bottom of them and get you a. Give you a management plan going forward.
Treesaregood.org.
O-R-G. You got that.
That's catchy. I like that. All right.
That's a great website, by the way. You'll find yourself going to other parts of that website because it's got some great consumer information on trees. It's sponsored by the International Society of Arboriculture. And it's one of our go-to websites that we recommend to all of our customers because it's so consumer-friendly.
Very good. We appreciate the tip. And we are looking for certified arborists for Tucson. If you are in that market and you're looking to join the Rosie on the House network or increase and expand your business and the quality of lead source, Tucson Arborist, we have an opening. Let's bring George into the program. Wants to talk about his oak tree. Welcome.
Yeah, and in June I planted the acorn, and it's 3 feet high already.
Wow!
Is that normal growth?
That's encouraging. That's really encouraging to be able to grow an oak tree from an acorn. Sometimes they're difficult to propagate. They're difficult to grow. So yeah, you're lucky. You've got
I got it growing in wood mulch.
Oh, good for you!
It seems to love it.
Yeah, that sounds great. Three feet in a year, that's awesome. You should have a well-established tree in a very short time. So, yeah, good for you.
I appreciate the information.
You bet. Well, thank you for the call.
And something like that, where it's 3 feet, I mean, it's very thin. It's very straight. Mm-hmm. It's not going to continue on that growth pattern or speed. I mean, as a tree becomes bigger, it's not going to be able to keep up with that
right.
faster and, growth.
Well, the saying is, as go the roots, so go the shoots. That shoot development is all a function of good soil conditions. And if you have a nice, well-drained soil that has available nutrients and that root system is developing quickly, boom, that top growth will really respond and take off. And so make sure you're keeping that rooting environment healthy. That's our main, you know, improving the soil conditions, and the rest will take care of itself.
And that is a factor when he goes to transplant it. Obviously, it's not going to be in a wood mulch at the transplant. You're going into the desert clays. It's going to hit much harder ground to grow in. What's the proper way to then introduce that to, you know, a transplanted? Or could you keep it? You know, you can't keep it at wood mulch forever.
Well, I think he probably germinated it in the wood mulch, and then he's already. It sounds like he's already put it in the landscape. He's already planted it out. But yeah, there's some techniques on how to grow trees from seed, and acorns can be pretty particular. They have to be the seed needs to offer, or the acorn needs to be scarified, and there's some techniques involved in trying to get those to grow. Some nurseries around the state specialize in oak production, and it's not one of the easiest propagation or trees to propagate. So if you've done that in your backyard, good for you. That's an awesome accomplishment.
We appreciate the call, and enjoy that tree. In a couple of years, you'll have something you can put a hammock underneath and take a little nap on a warm, sunny day.
Yeah, I've just had a... Do we have time to talk about a couple of other October tree tips real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay. Just be alerted, even though we've had 95-degree temperatures these last several weeks. Temperatures will drop, and when they do, you need
to promise.
Yeah, they will. They will drop, and one of these days we're going to be. And people sometimes get a little lulled to sleep and forget to prepare. Often there's a run on frost cloth, and our nurseries and hardware stores are may not have frost cloth available. So get go ahead and stock up now. Get what you need to cover your shrubs and your small trees, and get ready for that because that's around the corner. People ask me all the time, well, is it okay to prune trees at this time of year? As a rule, as we're heading into winter, any frost-sensitive trees, you want to be pretty careful and a little more judicious with your pruning because you don't want to take off their winter coat as they're heading into the colder weather. Also, the new growth that's going to emerge, if you prune today, you'll have some new growth that will actually emerge, and that juvenile growth on the trees doesn't have time to harden off before the frost comes. So that young growth is more vulnerable to frost damage a month or so from now. So just be careful. You can your more vigorous trees, your evergreens, can be pruned quite safely right now. But we should probably be doing a little bit of end weight reduction, a little bit of shaping, but not a lot of interior pruning, heavy interior pruning at this time of year because, again, you want our trees to head into the winter with their full winter coat and ready to transition into the spring.
This is also citrus. Are we too late?
Citrus are one of those frost-sensitive trees. You need to be reducing the dosage of pruning as we get further into the winter. This is about at the end of our pruning cycle for citrus. I wouldn't be doing a whole lot other than some minor grooming just to improve the shape, but definitely no heavy pruning on citrus and other frost-sensitive trees right now.
How do we know when the fruit is ready?
Well, you have to look up your fruit to really know when the optimum time is for fruit development. We have the sweetening of citrus fruit is not a function of color. Color is really a function of temperature drops. So even though fruit starts to ripen and you get that beautiful color being display, it doesn't. It's not an indication of fruit sweetness. So look them up because we have citrus like our navels which are ready to eat as early as December. And then we have some of our Arizona sweets and Valencias, which are ripening later and are at their optimum picking time later in the spring. So even into the summer. So you need to look up your variety online and find out what first of all what you have, and then when the optimum time is for picking the fruit. Lemons, for instance, they go yellow in December as soon as the temperatures drop. But lemons, you know, if you can keep them on the tree, they're going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter all the way into a late spring, early summer. So, you know, remember that if you can leave your trees on, your fruit on, whatever it is, your grapefruit, for instance, we'll be eating grapefruit in January, February, but it's going to be a pretty tart. But if you can keep our grapefruit on, we'll be eating it as late as maybe May and June. You can't leave it on too long, or it'll dry out or it'll get funky there's a point at which of diminishing returns as well, where you can't be eating the fruit too late into the summer. But the longer you can leave it on the tree, the better. It's going to be sweeter as you go.
Do you have more points, or you want to go to the
calls? I did want to just mention one other thing. If you're planning to put up holiday lights, be sure that you're being careful of your trees, because I have a lot of people that wrap the Christmas lights on the trees. And if you're planning to leave them more than a season, as the branches get larger in diameter, they'll start to girdle those branches, and they'll be really hard to get the lights out, really bad, hard on the tree too, because you're going to constrict the flow of water and nutrients in the branch by the that constriction caused by the lights. If you can, wrap them loosely, and better, it's really nice if you could take them off. I know it's a lot of work to take them back off every year. But if you do leave them on, you run the risk of them starting to girdle those branches. We've had trees that have been cut off. The nutrients have been cut off altogether. You get branch dieback, and it makes it really hard to trim the trees too. We've had some customers with lots of Christmas lights, and it's really difficult to get up in there and try to trim the trees with all the lights in there. So there's another method of attaching the lights to the branches, you know, using a green plastic landscape tape or possibly even zip ties. That way you can quickly take them all off at the end of the season, and then run your branches out the length of the branch rather than wrapping the branch. Just run them along the length of the different branches, and it makes it a lot easier to put them up and take them down.
The city of Prescott, they have, I don't know how many of their trees they light, but their courthouse square is 180 trees strong, and I think they usually do about half. Well, and I know they'd like to get eventually to, I think their goal is to wrap every tree at some point, but they start in October to have it ready for the Christmas parade and Christmas tree courthouse lighting, which is always the first Saturday in December. It takes them 2 months to wrap, and they keep them on until January, and by March they've got them all back down again.
Well, I'm glad they take them off every year, but it's an investment. But wow, it's an amazing display when our trees. Not only does it give you this light display, but it just lights up the trees. It's an incredible uplighting, so you see all the branch structure of the trees, and yeah, it's worth the investment. It's a lot of fun.
Louis, Cecilia, we'll come to you after the break, and we're gonna get to your song.
Yeah.
How much time do you need?
I need about 2 minutes.
All right. I'll check the clock and go backward and set an alarm to give you 2 minutes to wrap up the hour with a tribute song to Rosie.